Welcome to another fantastic podcast show by My African Moves, your host here, Ken and Mercy. Today, our guest is Marvelous. Marvelous is not your typical 20s African youth. In a continent affected by very high unemployment rates, Marvelous is the CEO of one of the hottest startups in Zimbabwe and Africa called Housing Hub. He founded in his dorm room during his freshman year at Midland State University. In our episode, we'll learn a lot to hear from him, his ambitions, and he's also multi-talented. He has a very good voice as well. Therefore, he sings. So welcome and enjoy.
Hi, Marvelous.
Hi, Mercy. What's up?
I am so glad to speak to you. Just noticing how multi-talented you are. You're probably like a radio TV personality. And then on top of that, you're an entrepreneur, my friend. Oh my. You are multi-talented.
I mean, well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's such an honor. And speaking of talents, I mean, well, I'm blushing. Thank you.
We're very glad to have you here. We're so proud. First of all, from a sister to a young brother, I'm so proud of you. So proud of the work you're doing. And then having said that, how many houses, like, so we got to know you through the Housing Hub in Zimbabwe. And it's doing such high numbers.
Thank you.
this platform is so smart. And, you know, it's something that works easily with students. So I would like us for you to tell us just a little bit more, you know, not like the story we read, but the story, what is your story about this this Housing Hub? Because now you must be a king of real estate, a student real estate king.
Oh my God. Let me say honored and thank you. So the story of the Housing Hub is quite, I'd like to call it a journey as opposed to just a story. Because I feel like it's the journey of my life and it's just beginning, because Housing Hub has transformed from being a project I used to think about to becoming my life. It has gone deeper and it's now become a service that I find myself enjoying doing.
Wow.
And when people talk about Housing Hub, they see a company, but I see something that I've dedicated my life to, part of my life or probably my whole entire life, I mean, to do. So it's the journey started when I was in my second year and I failed to secure accommodation on campus. So nobody prepares you for the off-campus accommodation world. And being a first year, I had assumed that I was going to be staying on campus until I finished university. Off-campus is an ecosystem on its own. It's an entire city of students on its own, if I should say. So many things happen, so many things evolve. And coming from your first year, it's something they don't teach you in lecture rooms. It's something they don't tell you about, to be to be aware of conmen, that you're going to look for accommodation on your own. So I had to travel to school, 2 weeks prior to school opening, just to try and find a decent place to stay. Upon arrival,
Upon arrival in Gweru,
which is so I stay in Nyanga, and Nyanga is a town that is in a province called Manicaland, which is three provinces away from the school I'm at. So it takes approximately 1.5 days to actually get there. So upon arrival in Gweru, I'm stuck. I have no relative, no connection, nothing. It's me on the ground, and I'm 18 by then. And, you know, coming from boat, like I said, nobody had prepared me for any of this. There I am with my luggage. I'm a student. And, you know, when you're 18, back at home, mom and dad be like, you're grown up now. This is university.
Yeah.
Man, you know, and I
had to make your own life. Yeah.
So now it was down to me to find accommodation. But the process, those were the horrible 5 days I've ever experienced in college. Knocking from door to door, moving from house to house, you get a rejection. Sometimes a person looks at you and they don't like your dressing, or they look at you and they just feel you might not have enough money, or, you know, a lot of things happened. So I ended up giving up looking and I resorted to using an agent. So I found this agent. Somebody had recommended and said that he is reliable in court. So I engaged the agent, and the agent was supposed to get me accommodation. So I sent him money for him to secure accommodation, only to realize I'd been given a fake directory of landlord phone numbers that do not even exist. So that was the first part. I was just like, wow, this is terrible. Then as a means of revenging, I created a WhatsApp group. So the purpose of the WhatsApp group was for people to post accommodation that they found. So if you're moving around and you're a student and you hear of availability of accommodation, you just post it, and so that other students can have access to the information. The group became a hit, and soon enough the group grew and it became full. And a friend of mine was like, okay, I think WhatsApp is not as formal. Try opening a Facebook group or a Facebook page. So therefore I opened the first Facebook group that we had at the time. And when we reached 3,200 students on the group, that's when I knew something. I was like, okay, so this is actually something. So back then it wasn't called the Housing Hub, it was just called the Accommodation Guide. And from then on, it was now a struggle of names, switched from Haven Housing to Ken Housing to like a couple of names. Until one day when I was on campus, I was talking to a couple of friends, and it so happened that my best friend was there, and she's here with me, and she's looking at me like, you better mention my name. So my best friend was there, and she's like, why don't you call it the Housing Hub? Here she is. She's right here.
Hi. Hi. How are you? She's what?
That's your
She's
partner.
The one who gave the company the name.
Oh, wow.
Oh, great name. Okay. Great name.
Okay, cool. So then after we named it the Housing Hub, that's when the whole journey started. So to me, somebody approached me and said, turn this into a business. And I didn't have enough business knowledge at the time. I was like, okay, I'm turning this into a business. What am I going to do? How much am I going to be charging people?
Wait, quick question. Sorry to cut you off. So what were you studying at university in your first year?
Accounting.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, accounting. Well, that's the other funny thing. Accounting, doing IT now, it's a whole interesting journey. Like, guys, an interesting journey. So
yes, interesting, Yeah,
so then I started. And when I initially started, my assumption was this was going to be a hit. Like, who would say no to booking accommodation online? I saw myself at the level of Airbnb in like 2 weeks. And I'm like, this is going to be across Zimbabwe. Everybody's going to have this. I mean, who wouldn't want this? But little did I know that my entrepreneurial journey had just begun.
Yeah.
2 weeks into formalizing things and properly coming up with structures and having only 10 landlords on the platform, I realized that a lot of work had to be done. Back then I had a partner, who was Anesu.
So how much money did you start with?
Okay. To start the business, I didn't have any money. I borrowed $60 from my mom and dad to register the company. I borrowed $50 from my sister to do a data survey, and I borrowed another $30 from my own wallet. That was like the pocket money I had at the time.
Okay. So 60 plus 30, that's 90. And then what else?
60 plus 50 plus 30. It's actually 60, 50, 30.
Right? Oh, okay. Like $140.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right.
Or I
not
started,
a bad place.
Yeah, I started, and it was mainly for like registering the company, moving up and down, and consultations, and just getting the legal documents in place. So then,
how long did that take you?
Oh my God, horrible! I don't know how it is like in other countries, but back then in Zimbabwe in 2018, it wasn't as easy as it is now to register a company. Like, you'd have to know someone who knows someone who knows someone. And I I thought like that in a way just discourages a lot of young entrepreneurs from trying to register companies, because you go through all these bureaucratic processes and it's frustrating. Please come back on Monday. You go on Monday. Oh my God, the person who was attending to your case has gone for a funeral. Come back on Thursday. Come back on Saturday. Like, this is true. This is what happened with me. And I remember when we were trying to register our tax clearance certificate, I was told that because I'm not from that province, I had to go and be cleared for my original province. I'm like, these government processes, so frustrating. I could have given up. I have a friend of mine who was also registering his own company. It was an e-commerce platform. He gave up along the way. Like, he was like, this is it.
What I've noticed, our systems, many African systems are not prepared of these new ideas of how to do business. So it takes a minute for them to understand these things. And sometimes you're telling someone about starting a new business idea, especially like tech, it has been a real struggle in many countries to get that integrated. It was the same here in Tanzania back like 5 years back, but now they have one system that has all information and, you know, the process is not hard.
So marvelous. So what kept you going? So you said your friend, he got discouraged and kind of stopped. So what was the motivation?
Yeah, so what kept you?
Yeah, what was the driver for you?
I've always been a person who doesn't give up. And I felt the pain of quitting. And I felt the pain of having agents continue to manipulate students, because to me that was not, remember, it all started with me being angry and just telling myself, this is not fair. Mm-hmm. Can't people for something that's so easily accessible, not in this century, in the 21st century where technology is so available and information is everywhere, and here you are manipulating students like me simply because I'm probably the less privileged. I'm coming from a background where I don't have connections, or I simply lack the information. I mean, imagine how many other students just pay that money without even asking questions simply because they are desperate. So
yeah,
I saw people taking advantage of other people because they were desperate, because I walked those shoes, and I felt that pain knowing that you've paid more than three people trying to get help and then not get help today. So that anger just drove me to do and to just continue. Like, you can't give up. No matter what, you can't give up.
So you used your anger.
Yeah, I used my anger to push me.
So more or less, so quick question. So as far as the university, do they not have adequate housing for students? Because here in the U.S., most universities have on-campus facilities for students to live on campus. Is that not the case there in Zimbabwe, or is it just very limited? I'm just trying to get the idea. Oh,
so here's a very funny statistic. Mm-hmm. So that was part of, that went down as a fact that we gathered from the research that we did before we turned it into a business, because I was like, what if you rush and turn it into a business and then you discover that actually universities have the capacity to cater for everybody? So with my institution, we have a population of 30,000 students, but only 30,200 can be on campus. And same goes for universities such as the National University of Science and Technology, which is one of the biggest institutions, by the way, has a population of 20,000 students, but then like they can only cater for 64. And I'm not kidding. Wow. 64 students only on campus. That is 32 males and 32 females.
That is crazy.
You've got the University of Zimbabwe, 2,500 maximum was the university enrollment, 25,000 students. So you've got all of the 25 tertiary institutions in Zimbabwe barely accommodating 30% of their enrollment of students. And then where does the other population of this student reside? That becomes the question. Universities, again, when we're doing our research, we tried to get as much information as we could. Some of them were cooperative, some of them were not, because they thought it's a bit sensitive. But we actually discovered that universities do not even also know where their students are staying. They just know students are coming for lectures, but nobody has a map to say, okay, our students are laid out this way. You've got 3,000 staying in this suburb. You've got 4,000 staying in this suburb. You've got 10,000 staying in this suburb. Like, we feel like that information is very important because it helps in a lot of planning. What if there's an emergency, or what if you want to do something or distribute information? It will also help to locate which of these areas do you have most student abuse cases, what's wrong within that area, how can we deal with that, how can we hold campaigns, what are student living conditions, is it hygienic? Like, with that now becomes our part, and that is now actually one of our jobs to actually map out and figure, okay, our students are staying like this, this is where they're staying, the rentals are like this. It's all part of our data collection now. We've just built this database where we have this information, and we feel we're going to use this information when we approach investors, probably investors who want to build accommodation, because that is also one of the goals, to actually own our own accommodation so that we have direct control over it. And if not, to have institutions or the government do something for the students, because maybe some of the living conditions of students off campus is just terrible, but they don't exactly have anywhere they can report to. And if they have someone to report to, there's not a listening ear. So we're going to be that mouthpiece for the student nation.
Wow, that's a big movement.
That is. So quick question. So what were students doing before your platform came along?
Okay, students were using student agents and WhatsApp and just passing around phone numbers. So here's the problem with agents. It's obvious you're going to be conned, or you're going to be overcharged, right? And the problem with agents is that they do not have a direct link with the landlord. So this is merely a student who's just heard that next door there's accommodation. So I just create a message on WhatsApp. Hi guys, I have accommodation available. So the moment you inbox me on WhatsApp, I'll tell you send $5. You send me $5 and then I'll give you a phone number of a landlord. You then call the landlord and the landlord will tell you the house is fully occupied. But because I tell you, I give you a disclaimer, the moment you send me the $5, if I give you the phone number and it doesn't work, you're not going to bug me anymore. So you see that these are people who are just making money off a niche. Yeah, it's quite sad. So students use that, and sometimes they use Facebook, and it's peer-to-peer. And the bigger part is they actually have to travel to university 2 weeks before or a week before to secure decent. So the problem with that again is you're using transport money. You go to your university town. You're spending a lot of money walking around, knocking from door to door. And whilst you're busy looking for accommodation, remember you need somewhere to sleep, because it might take you 3 or 2 days to secure a good house. Right. You're paying squatting fees or temporal rent for just those few days.
Let me stop you there. I'm sorry. So question, how did you sell the landlords on this? Because you're just pretty much subleasing these properties, correct? So how was that process of selling these landlords to convince them to partner with you and your platform?
That was the most difficult part. Like, it was really, really hard back then in 2018, because we were merely, like you're saying, we're merely just linking them with students. And after having just 10 landlords on the platform, we thought to ourselves, what can we do? Because landlords need to see value before they can buy into it. So we created value by creating packages. So if you're a landlord and you have a property that you want to list on the platform, it's absolutely free. You can have your property on the platform. It's absolutely free. No one is going to charge you. The kicker now is, however, we have other services that we can offer to landlords. So we did market research. We realized that the majority of our landlords did not have lease agreements with their students, did not keep proper books of accounting, did not have proper services on their homes. So we reached out a portfolio of services like, okay, what do landlords need? What are they missing and what can be done? And then we went out and partnered with different partner companies in each of the categories that we discovered. And in some of them, we haven't partnered with them. We're in the process of partnering them. First one is Made to Clean. So Made to Clean Private Limited basically provides cleaning services. So as a landlord, students on your home. Imagine having 30 students in one house. It's definitely going to be a messy house. And you're going to need someone to regularly come in and clean, especially if you're not a stay-in landlord. You're a landlord who's based in Kigali and you have a property down in Bulawayo or in Gweru. You're going to need a company, a reputable company that comes in and cleans the house on a regular basis. So we partnered with Made to Clean Private Limited, and Made to Clean agreed to provide their service at a discount to our landlords. So our landlords subscribe to our database. We get them a cleaning service that is offered at a discount. That is number one. Number two, we partnered up with an energy company. It's called Zua Gas. So what Zua Gas does is they provide LP gas, which is used in most homes for cooking. So they agreed to do free trainings for our landlords. I will send you the flyers in your DM on Instagram, or you can check out on our pages. It's actually there on our page, on the Instagram page. They provide trainings, gas safety trainings. They provide technical checks to see if there are faults on the house, on the properties, if there are any gas leakages. They provide fire extinguisher trainings and so forth. All of this is done only if you're registered on our platform. So therefore, to get this package of services, you have to be subscribed. Another one that we also added on the platform is we now do accounting and bookkeeping. So we realized that they're not keeping proper books of accounts, why not do their books of accounts for them? Since students are already passing through our system, we know just how many students they have. We know what their rentals are like. So we prepare their financials, we prepare projections, we do scenarios, and we tell them, okay, if you want to add Wi-Fi at your property, Wi-Fi, geyser, and CCTV, you probably have to push the rentals to as much as $300. But however, students are not going to be able to afford this. So it's a couple of scenarios and a couple of things that we're not offering, just so that they buy onto the system, like value addition.
Okay, great. So Marlis, how has COVID-19 affected your business? And how have you kind of, maneuvered and made adjustments?
So COVID-19 hit us with a huge, big slap. Oh my God. We were not ready. We were not even prepared. Because most of our systems and most of our model was manual based. So our network at this point grew to 56 agents. We had signed up 56 student agents. So these agents are the ones who are responsible for performing checks to ensure that the accommodation is satisfactory, register the landlord on the platform. They will do visits to do inventory checks, to collect financial information, and then come back so that we reconcile this information and then prepare proper reports for distribution to the landlords. So when COVID-19 came, that meant, and the lockdowns were initiated, the infamous lockdowns. I don't know if you guys have lockdowns there. So with the infamous lockdown, students were asked to go back home. So that meant that our properties were now empty. And because properties were empty, no rentals are coming in. And because no rentals are coming in, we have nothing to manage. Like we are sitting, but like with no service to provide because there's no client. The client is at home because of things that are beyond their own control. Right. So that affected us in terms of revenue. But then it brought us to a new way of thinking. Like, we're like, okay, guys, we have been affected. No one can move around to do data collection. We can't exactly move around to talk to our landlords because the other problem was that a good number of landlords are not tech savvy. They're not exactly people who would actually sit and log in on the app and do all of those things. So our agents stood in the part whereby they'd do that on their behalf. You have your landlord there, you interview them, they give you information, you input information into the system, which is accurate. So we haven't been able to do any of that. So we just thought to ourselves, what can we do? What service can we provide so that at least we innovate beyond COVID-19, because COVID-19 is not supposed to be the death of us. So now we've automated a significant number of items on the platform. You only need to do data collection once. And then after that's done, the system will be calculating and evaluating most of the information and data on its own. And another one is that we've added a couple of other services. We've added a couple of other services to the platform that can be used by the student and that can be used by the landlord if they so like. So now it's gone beyond just housing. So it's something that sort of happened like prior to COVID-19. We ran a promotion back in February where we wanted to understand really what evolves around the student ecosystem and what students are looking for. And we ran a promo and students participated and they gave us their views. They told us, hey, you know, what if I'm a student? Yes, I've looked for accommodation, but there's so many more things that I want that are not just accommodation that I feel like you guys could probably integrate on your platform because you already have a good reputation and I've secured my accommodation for the past 2-3 semesters with you. Therefore, I feel like you guys should integrate this. What if you tried this? What if you tried that? So we had a couple of ideas that students threw at us. And when COVID-19 came, we were just like, okay, yeah, you know what? These students were right. They probably saw what we didn't. And let's just integrate this on the system. So yeah, a couple of things that happened. And hopefully within a month, we'll be able to showcase the products. And I'm pretty sure people are gonna love it.
Awesome.
That's very interesting.
So before COVID-19, how many users were on your platform? Like tenants and landlords? Can you give me a rough number how many you had on your platform?
Okay, cool. So we had 5,800 beds on the platform, and we, 5,800 beds distributed like between 490 homes, like a single property, because each property could have a capacity of like 30 students. Another property could be a flat with a capacity of like over 50 students and so forth. So we had 5,800 beds, about 490 properties on the platform, and we had 13,200 users on the platform, like 13,000 registered and active. So really our only limitation was capacity. Otherwise, if we had amassed more numbers in terms of having more landlords to just sign up on the platform and have them, we'd be talking astronomical figures in terms of like our revenue. But then even in terms of our revenue with the bed capacity that we had, we managed to break even in 2019. When 2020, wow. Yeah, we managed to break even in 2019. 2018 was just losses. Oh my God.
It was understandable.
It was just terrible. At that time I wasn't angry per se, but I was just like, it has to make sense because I'd lost so much money just pumping in money into the business.
Right.
So,
it takes money to grow.
It was losses and losses, but then it paid off.
Awesome. So what's the future for your business? Do you see expansion, like franchising this to other African countries? What do you see?
Are you guys there?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I said the future for the Housing Hub is Africa.
So there you go.
Yeah. There you go. That's your African move.
I like how you think, young man.
I'm going to move across Africa because, I mean, technology is easily adoptable anywhere. And I feel
why not?
Once we capitalize on the Zimbabwean market, I feel like a lot of students out there would really use a cool product that's made by students for students. And being students, I feel like we really understand what students want. We understand what's the vibe that's happening in the student ecosystem, which is something really you can't find on, you know, people at times like to compare us to Airbnb and say, okay, you guys are like, you sort of like copied Airbnb. I'm like, we're not Airbnb. We're not the first student Airbnb in Zimbabwe. We are the Housing Hub in Zimbabwe. So it's a product that we're creating for the students. And I feel like because students everywhere, the ecosystem is just almost the same. We can do market research and adapt it to Zambia, adapt it to Botswana, adapt it to Mozambique, adapt it to Kenya. I've been to Kenya and I almost went to Tanzania. Oh, I have a lot of friends in Tanzania. I have so many.
Karibu, 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 Karibu.
I mean, it's something we want to adopt, but we've given ourselves time for the next for the next 2.5 years. We really just want to clamp down on the Zimbabwean market. Like, that's just our focus. Yeah, we want to just clamp down on the Zimbabwean market. After we've clamped down on the Zimbabwean market, we've set up our barriers to entry, per se, and we've really capitalized student ecosystem here. We then start to do market research outside and just adopt our technology to meet students' needs from Zambia, adopt it to Kenya. I feel like with in terms of like the application and websites and so forth, it's easy domain changing. But really what matters is the modeling and the ecosystem, because we really need to understand how people make payments in Zambia or how people make payments in Kenya. There's M-Pesa and so forth, which is like what we use here called EcoCash. But then in other countries, you might not have that. It might strictly be cash on a cash basis. So the modeling around that will be planned eventually. But really the goal is to just spread across the African continent and have something we are proud of and something that was birthed from the African soil by an African child. Oh my God, I feel so hopeful.
Yeah, you should. Congratulations. We like listening to you. Literally, it's an amazing journey, and keep going. Hope we'll have this conversation 10 years down the line.
Absolutely.
And by then you're doing big Africa moves.
Right. Yes, most definitely we will.
Yeah, definitely. And whenever you're in Tanzania, you're most welcome to holla.
Okay. Sure.
Your story was great. It was great listening to you.
It's great.
It's definitely good to have you back on the show. You know, hopefully by next time we talk, you're in, you know, every country.
Definitely.
Keep doing the great job you're doing, man. I mean, you're doing awesome things, and it's very motivational.
You.
Your story would definitely inspire a lot of young people to get out there and take action. So that's
your story. I like the question you asked me. I like the question you asked me where you asked me how much money I started with. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of young entrepreneurs miss it because they feel they need money to start. Starting is not money. Starting is a state of the mind. Like,
it's never about money.
It's mind. Just show yourself it's time. Because when you're in college, you're like, I'll wait till I get my degree. When I get my degree, then I get my first job. I raise a couple of bucks. By the time you're on your first job, you're not even thinking about starting anymore. Like, it's a whole ton of other responsibilities that are on you. You might fail to balance. So start with whatever you have. Wherever you have, I had to borrow money from my parents. I mean.
So quickly, 1 second, Marvelous. If you were, so let's put it this way. I would like you to start your sentence by saying, my African move as a message to my fellow young citizens of Africa. This is my message. So please, and then add that information. What you were saying, to start with what you have.
Okay, I start by saying
my African move is a message to maybe all young is a message to all young citizens of Africa.
Mm-hmm. My African move is a message to all the young people across the continent of Africa.
Yeah.
We are the change that we want to see. Start whatever you have, wherever you are. Starting is a state of the mind. You don't need money to start. You need money to scale up. Yourself.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
I should have a talk show, right?
You should. You have a personality. You got the name, Marvelous.
Definitely Marvelous.
You're the first Marvelous I've met. Like, you definitely have an entertaining name. So this guy, a singer. And I actually did research on you on your Instagram. I noticed. You have quite the vocals, young man. Bless us with a little note.
I actually think I'm a better dancer than a singer. I don't know.
What?
Okay.
Wow. Okay. Well done. Keep sharing on your social media platforms, and then we'll be happy to watch and share your talents with the world.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you so much, guys.